Were we robbed? Was there some funny business in the vote counting in Ohio and Florida in the presidential contest? Did Kerry really win? The Nation magazine's Washington editor David Korn says, not so quick. He spoke with our own John Wiener.
Well, Greg Palast wrote a piece last Friday that's been flying around the internet titled Kerry Won. I Googled Greg Palast and Kerry Won today and got 20,000 sites, starting with TomPaine.com, CommonDreams.com, and TruthOut.com. Do you think Greg Palast is right that Kerry won?
No, I think he's demonstrably wrong, and I think it's not even a close call. I recommend that listeners go and read his piece and then read the piece that I have posted. They can find it at the Nation website or at my own blog, and I think it's rather evident. What Greg wrote was, Kerry won. How do we know this? Well, because there were 155,000 provisional ballots that were not yet counted. They're being counted. And there were 96,000 or so votes that did not register when they were run through the vote counting machine.
This is in Ohio.
This is all in Ohio. People might remember that from Florida when there were undervotes and overvotes, votes that didn't register and were put aside. And a lot of the recount fight was based on whether you could look at those ballots, hand examine them, and see whether you could discern a vote or not, whether there was a hanging chair, a punched Chad, a pregnant Chad. Remember all that.
Don't forget the dimpled Chad.
Don't forget the dimpled Chad. And so Kerry won. Kerry lost Ohio by 136,000 votes. Palast points to the 155,000 provisional ballots and the 96,000 uncounted or spoiled ballots, they're called by some people, and says and to say that these would have been enough to give Kerry the win. He would have had a net gain. Well, he's wrong on the math, basically. If you look at the provisional ballots, even Democrats in Ohio thought that you'd have to throw somewhere between 10% and 20% of them out. Last time when they counted provisional ballots and had a small number of them in Ohio, they counted only 90% of them ended up being good ballots. There are a lot of reasons for why ballots aren't good, but they aren't always filled out right. And in any event, so you cut down that number right away from 155,000 to maybe 120,000. And then if you look at the 96,000 uncounted ballots, well, most of those ballots assuredly will not register votes. How do I know this? Because I've done something that Greg Palast and almost, I don't think any other journalists, very few journalists have done. That is, I've looked at mass numbers of these type of ballots. After Florida, after it was all decided a few months after the election,
this is in 2000.
2002, I went down to Miami, where there were 10,000 uncounted or unregistered votes that weren't picked up by the machines, and the county had made them available to journalists who were willing to pay $10 an hour to look at them. And about 6 to 10 journalists, mainly local people, showed up to look at that. I was one of the few national reporters to do so. And I looked at a third of those 10,000 votes. I did it for 3 days, for 10 hours a day. It drove me crazy.
It's kind of expensive, too.
It drove me crazy. Anyway, it added up, too. It was a couple hundred dollars I had to pay the county to do this. And I wrote a whole piece of this on The Nation. You can Google it and find it. But I discovered at the end, there are different standards to use in terms of determining whether a ballot might have been legitimate or not. I found, after looking at all these thousands of votes, that I had about a couple of 100 that I was pretty darn sure you could count for one side or the other, for Gore or for Bush. Again, only a couple hundred out of, I think, 200, 250 out of 3,000.
Wow.
Most of the ballots weren't picked up by the machines for good reason. Now, a lot of them, there were some real legitimate votes that were in this pool, but again, it was a very, very, very small percentage, which you would expect in any technological system to have some percentage of things that just don't go right. So I looked at this, and I came up with like 119 votes for Gore and 114 votes for Bush.
Uh-oh.
So I got a 5-point net gain for Gore, and if you would, you know, and if you extrapolated from that for the whole county, you'd have a 15-vote net gain for Al Gore. Now, in Florida, Bush won by 537 votes. So if Gore could pick up 15 votes in 60 different counties, that would make a real difference, correct?
I'm with you.
You know, you see the math here.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking at the 96,000 unregistered votes, or, you know, votes that didn't register, ballots that didn't register, in Ohio, you would only get a couple of thousand real votes out of that. And again, these votes are not all going to break for Kerry, and the provisional ballots are not going to all break for Kerry. Even if you got 60% of them and got all the all the real ballots you could find out of that 96,000, he wouldn't come close, not even close, to surpassing the 136,000 votes. So Greg Palast just kind of assumes automatically that all the provisional ballots are good, they all go for Kerry, and that all the 96,000 ballots that didn't register would be for Kerry and would be good votes. And it's not true. I mean, empirical evidence, everything we know about ballots and voting, shows that's not the case. Now, if he wants to make the argument that we should count those 96,000 ballots, and he wants to go look at it himself, go ahead and do so. But to get out there and say Kerry won on the basis of this sort of these false assumptions and bad math, I think is rather irresponsible, because it gets people's hopes up and it feeds, you know, their conspiratorial notions and their belief that they were robbed.
Now, other people in the Kerry won camp take a different course. They point to the exit polls that showed Kerry ahead, and some people have been working on an argument that the exit polls were accurate for the uncontested states, but that there was a discrepancy between the exit polls and the actual votes, especially in Ohio and Florida, and that the exit polls tell us that something was wrong with the actual votes in Ohio and Florida. What do you think of that argument?
It's not, you know, it's not proof to say that the exit polls are right and the vote count is wrong. The final exit poll numbers for the national election ended up being exactly right, 51-48. For Florida and Ohio, they weren't right, but the trend during the day was right. It's very interesting. The early exit polls showed Kerry up by several points in both Ohio and Florida, but through the day, as new exit polls came in, that is, as the sample got larger, that trend, that gap narrowed pretty dramatically. And that's why all of us at the Kerry headquarters, I was covering it with the press there, started thinking, this is getting tighter, before the vote count started even coming in. So even if there is a discrepancy at the end of the day between the exit polls in those states and the actual vote count, you know, the exit polling was trending in the right direction, and it's not proof. You know, you can maybe, you know, say, well, this is suspicious, we should think about it, we should look into it, and go through the math again, whatever. But it doesn't prove anything. It really, really doesn't. And there, you know, other people have pointed to a chart that went around the web showing that an optical scan in counties in Florida using optical scan machines, that's when you make an X on a ballot, it goes through a machine and it reads the X, it's not a punch card and it's not a touch screen, that in those counties in those counties that the Bush vote count seemed higher than it should be if you look at the number of registered Democrats and number of registered Republicans.
That's right. Counties with a lot of Democrats ended up with large Bush majorities.
But a lot of these are small counties. But Walter Mabane, who is a political scientist at Cornell, and his colleagues in Harvard and Stanford, went and looked at those counties and discovered, what do you know? Most of these are rural counties in the panhandle of Florida, which is a conservative area, and they went for Bush last time, and for the last 12 years, they've been trending towards the Republicans. That is, that these are, you know, southern Dixiecrat Democrats who may still register as Democrats because they've always been registered as Democrats, but they've been voting Republican for 12 years now, if not longer. So, again, you know, these are people are looking for easy proofs of a conspiracy to defraud the American public. And I do believe we need to have a high threshold of evidence before we make such claims. If people want to say the discrepancy between the exit polls and the outcomes, you know, was suspicious, well, then you need to figure out where to look and start digging rather than making charges. And I'll flip this around a bit. Dick Morris, who is, you know, the political consultant who used to work for the Clintons and now hates the Clintons, wrote a piece in the Hill magazine in Washington that said, exit polls are never wrong. There's something really suspicious and really foul here. I suspect foul play. Know what he suspects? That the media outfits who are, you know, well, not, you know, the people who did the polling who are hired by the media, they inflated the Kerry numbers in the exit polls in order to suppress and keep down the Bush vote during the day because they knew these would leak.
But the exit polls were supposed to be kept secret.
Well, everyone knows that they come out because, you know, they go to the media and the media shares them with their friends and someone puts it on a blog or a website somewhere. So his belief is that the exit polls show there was foul play, but for the exact opposite reason.
The opposite reason.
So that just goes to show you that the discrepancy in exit polling and the vote count, you know, doesn't prove one thing or the other. There's no reason to believe that his scenario is any more more plausible or implausible than the scenario of left-of-center critics who believe it shows definitively that the vote count was off.
David, we've only got 1 or 2 minutes left here. Are there open questions that you think need to be examined on this question of whether?
Well, I think there's a lot of problems with the voting system and the vote counting system and how we verify it. There weren't enough voting machines in Ohio. With touch screen voting, you can't have an audible paper trail. It certainly gives people good cause to be suspicious. The vote counting sometimes is done by corporations that don't share the the code in the computer. It's not open source. I think all that stuff has to be dealt with really quickly so that we have confidence that our elections are not being stolen.
That was David Korn, Washington editor of The Nation magazine, speaking with Radio Nation's John Wiener. I'm Mark Cooper. This is Radio Nation.
Hello, I'm Jean Banish, and I'm running for the local station board. KPFK is very fortunate to have a slate of capable candidates who care about the value of quality broadcasting offered by this station and the Pacifica Foundation. The candidates express thoughtful ideas and suggestions that I would like to help bring together from their wonderfully diverse origins into implementation of cohesive direction for upholding the Pacifica principles and further enriching the broadcasting operations. I ask for your votes in promoting enlightenment, integrity, and making the station's product even better. This is Jean Banish supporting KPFK and Pacifica. For more information, go to www.kpfk.org.